Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. So send us a note if you have an idea or just want to say hi. Our email address is indianaweekend@gmail.com. Imagine more than 3 million animals on a single farm. 3 million. Think of the logistics of feeding them, disposing of their waste. I visited a farm like that. If it sounds like one of those CAFO operations, like the large hog farms that have attracted the ire of neighbors, well, not exactly. Bell Aquaculture, home to the largest yellow perch farm in the country, has an operation in Albany, about 12 miles northeast of Muncie. And yes, there are something like 3 million fish here. Like some other ag operations, Bell has attracted the ire of its neighbors. They objected to a proposed zoning change that was needed for a $30 million expansion the company said would create 75 jobs. But this week, the Muncie Star Press reported that the company and the neighbors said they were making progress and working out a compromise. An open house of the plant was scheduled to give folks a look inside. We visited Bell Aquaculture for our own look the other day, and that's how we ended up on a catwalk near the top of a 45,000-gallon tank with company president Norman McCowan.
Trout come into this building here, John.
Look, I just have to say, you throw the food in and they're churning the
right.
water.
They're ready to eat. I mean, our operators here, they go by and they feed these fish every 2 hours. We feed these all for all around the clock here, but this trout production here, they come into as a fingerling into this building or into these tanks at about a gram. And then at about 15 grams, we'll transfer them to the production system. But you can see and kind of hear the fish eating here.
About how many fish are in this tank?
So these fingerling tanks are approximately about 45,000 gallons. And at this stage, we have about 80,000 trout in this tank.
You know, To the untrained eye, this looks about the size of a backyard above-ground pool.
Yeah, that's correct. It's 10 feet deep. All of our tanks in this building are 10 feet deep. The fingerling tanks are 24 feet in diameter. The grow-out tanks are 35 feet in diameter.
So these, now I can see the fish look to be about 4 inches long or so.
Yeah, these fish are actually approaching the 15-gram mark and getting ready to be transferred into our production system here.
How often do you feed them?
We feed them every 2 hours. We got a diet that's really profiled after the trout. Same with the yellow perch. We've developed a diet for that that's really nutritionally profiled after that species as well.
And the person who's working here has what looks like about a 3-gallon blue plastic bucket, and she's dipping in.
Yeah, she's actually feeding a certain amount of pounds. They'll actually record how many pounds the fish consume every 2 hours and keep record of that. That way, you know, if you get our fish in a restaurant somewhere and if you ever get a bad piece of fish, we got food traceability. And that's one thing that we believe is important is the food security aspect. You know, we want traceability from the day this fish enters our farm to the day it goes to our processing and into our customer.
How are these trout different from a fish that someone might catch in a river or something, a stream?
Well, you know, the trout that we raise here is in an optimal environment. They've got the temperature of the water is staged so where it's for optimal growth. The feed they get is nutritionally profiled so it can have growth, optimization of the fish, and just really trying to make sure that fish stays healthy all through its life here. So it's really a controlled environment indoors.
Reminds me of when you go to a pond sometime, you throw a little breadcrumbs in the water, the fish come after it, don't they?
Yes, it does. These fish are what you would call feed-trained fingerlings. As soon as they see you, they know that they're getting ready to have breakfast, lunch, or dinner, so they're here waiting for you.
And if you were to look through here, this is the first time I've been here, this has the appearance of a large warehouse with...
Well, actually, we have 30 of the large tanks, and we have 6 fingerling tanks. There's 36 tanks within the building with the combination of biofiltration, solids remover, capturing devices within these systems. These systems were designed by the Freshwater Institute, Division of the Conservation Fund, and everything was installed by a local Indiana company, Pranger Enterprise, out of Ashley, Indiana.
This is a growing business, right?
It is. It's a growing business. You know, when we look at many reports, by 2050, we got a real protein deficit that we have to address. And we see that there's about a 20% deficit in protein. And we believe part of that's got to be made up by seafood. When you look at cows, it takes 6 pounds of feed to make a pound of beef. And fish, it's a one-to-one. You put a pound of feed in, you get a pound of product out. And that's why we believe this is the answer for the protein deficit. We also, when you look at the natural resources in our trade deficit, petroleum's number one, but seafood's number two. We have a trade deficit of over $10.4 billion a year in seafood. And we have the technology, the resources, everything right here in North America to grow that product here locally. And that's what we're trying to do.
So what kind of fish are we looking at here?
We're looking at a rainbow trout here, and you know, within rainbow trout, it's a great species to grow indoors in a recirculating aquaculture. There's good genetics that is provided by a company called Trout Lodge, where you can just order the eggs and grow these fish out. And so these fish are very well trained for feed, do great in an RAS system or a recirculating aquaculture system. So it makes it a good fish to raise, and there's a market for it.
Norman McCowan, president of Bell Aquaculture, which has a fish farm in Albany, northeast of Muncie, and a processing plant in Red Key. A Purdue University Extension report last year said the business of raising fish is still just a small part of agriculture in Indiana, but is growing.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think. Email us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Saw some news coverage this month from the annual meeting of the Indiana Aquaculture Association in Muncie. Overall, according to an IU study, agriculture contributes nearly $38 billion to the state economy. Raising fish is still a small part of that. A Purdue study said fish farms had about $15 million in sales in 2012. A good chunk of that state total comes from a fish farm about 12 miles northeast of Muncie, in Albany, where Bell Aquaculture has the country's largest yellow perch farm. The company ran into a zoning fight when it applied for a permit to build a large feed mill. It now sounds as if they're working things out with their neighbors, and an open house was scheduled this week. We went over there last week for a look at what it takes to raise 3 million fish in a vast warehouse filled with 36 giant tanks.
So tell me what we're looking at here.
This is one of our large-scale production tanks, about 70,000 gallons of water in this one tank. We'll grow about 50,000 pounds at one time in this tank right here.
About how many fish would that be?
Depending on the market, for our rainbow trout, we do a mixture of 1 pound and 2 pound trout. That way we end up with a 4 ounce fillet for the lunch menus and an 8 ounce fillet for the dinner menus. But about 38,000 trout in this tank at any given time.
And where do these fish end up? Are they sold in Indiana or?
Yeah, a lot of them sold right here in the Midwest all the way to the East Coast.
And when you sell them, are they already filleted or the whole fish, or how does it work?
Yeah, well, we have our own processing plant in Red Key, Indiana, where our headquarters is at, and we can do value-added, whether it's batter or breading. We sell it fresh. The good thing about this trout, steelhead, and we're going to begin to do coho salmon, is that the distributors, the retailers, can order this fish fresh. The same day it's swimming, we can process that. We have our processing facility, and it can arrive at your store or at your restaurant. So having locally grown product that's fresh is going to be something new to the Midwest when you look at seafood.
What are the trends in this business? I mean, every time I go to the store, I see tilapia, I see catfish, see salmon. I haven't seen a whole lot of trout, but I haven't been looking either, so.
Yeah, I think there's several trends. You know, when you look at the state of Indiana, the shrimp producers are really growing, starting to see a lot more local shrimp pop up, trout, yellow perch. You're going to see a lot of new species over the next decade, I believe, that will come to the market that will be fresh and available for the consumer.
In terms of competing in this business, do you have to have tasters or recipe people or folks? I mean, I'm guessing that it's not just enough to raise the fish. You have to be thinking about the market and what people are looking for and the kind of fish that they want.
Yeah, you really do. And that's why we work with some local chefs in Indianapolis and also here locally to actually take our fish, begin to work with it, see how well it does, see what they like about it. But when you look at the trend, they really want a locally grown product that's fresh, that has not been treated with any antibiotics or hormones. And, you know, that's important to them. We're more conscious about our food than ever before. So provides a great product to the local market.
Now, what is it about a trout that you see the market being particularly interested in?
Well, when you look at your trout and your steelhead and your coho salmon, you know, they're high in omega-3s, and that's your brain food, and that's something that really, from a health-conscious standpoint, we need to eat it at least twice a week. And you can see that through the American Heart Association or many different organizations promoting that healthier eating. So that really, that's one of the benefits. The other benefit is that it's a locally grown product that just has a great taste, you know. You can get it fresh. And that seems to sit real well with the chefs.
Is the appetite or demand for fish growing as the economy improves some?
Yeah, I think not only is it growing, but we're seeing some factors. You know, in 2010, China became a net importer of fish, and that's really changed the landscape. And when you look at what's going on in Chile, they dropped off a lot of their rainbow trout and a lot of their coho salmon operations and was switched over to Atlantic salmon, which is providing an opportunity for these species to really be grown locally and fill that void that's in the market right now where there's not enough product. But, you know, like I said before, I think when you look at the population growth and where we need to be for seafood, we've got to get busy growing our own seafood for the future. We're not going to have it available to eat.
I'm remembering that you're the largest yellow perch fishery.
Yeah, we're the largest yellow perch producer in the world right now, and we're just diversifying into some other products as well right now.
That's what the trout represents and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what else do you have? You have yellow perch, rainbow trout.
We also do steelhead, and we also next month we'll start coho salmon.
So salmon, I'm thinking that's a lot bigger than a perch, right?
It is. It's much bigger. You know, our perch, the market demand for that's about a 1 ounce fillet. So we only grow the fish to 150 grams. But with the coho salmon, some of the demand for that is upwards of 3 kilos per fish. So big difference.
Well, I'm looking at these tanks, and we were standing by one a while ago that appeared to be about the size of a above-ground backyard pool, at least the part we were standing next to. This one is much bigger. You said how many thousand gallons?
This tank here is 70,000 gallons.
And so would this accommodate the salmon?
Yeah, well, this technology, when you look at the Freshwater Institute, they've done a lot of work with salmon in the Cornell dual drain design.
And you've mentioned that a couple of times. I mean, because part of the technology at work here is you grow these fish, the water gets dirty because of the fish are in it, and the new technology that you're using or the technique that you're using deals with that in a way that was done differently, right?
It is. You know, when we look at an RAS system or a recirculating aquaculture system, what we're doing here is basically filtering the water to recirculate it. And that's why on a flow basis, we can reuse 99.9% of the water with very little fresh water added to these systems. So they're an important partner with us on the technology side in implementing this on a commercial scale.
Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish are jumping that.
That's Norman McCowan, the president of Bell Aquaculture. The company has been in a zoning fight over its plans to build a feed mill, a place to make fish food out of corn, soybeans, and other products. There's been a zoning dispute over that plan, but the Star Press reports the company and neighbors may be working out an agreement.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
A fish farm in Albany is capable of producing 2.5 million pounds of fish a year and plans to triple that with a $30 million investment. Bell Aquaculture's plans became the subject of a zoning fight. Neighbors complain about the smell from the plant. Bell says it's working on a plan to address that. This week, the Star Press reported that Bell invited neighbors to an open house to have a look inside. That's just what we got during a visit last week, curious to see what it takes to raise 3 million fish. This is the largest yellow perch producer in the world, which makes you wonder, why Indiana?
Early on, back in 2005 when we started this business, we looked at a study done by Purdue and really the commercial fishing of yellow perch in the Great Lakes was at its peaks in the late 60s with harvesting 38 million pounds that was reported landing. And in that study, they noted that all of that was being consumed within the first 50 miles of the Great Lakes. And now we're all the way down to 11 million pounds. So we've seen that there was a supply and demand issue, and that's why we picked us. Yellow perch is one of the species that we've selected to raise.
You started out with fish. Tell that story about how you first began raising fish.
Yeah, you know, clear back in the early 80s, our family vacation was centered around trout lining or fishing on the Wabash River for the flatheads, and part of my job was to take care of bait fish. We used to go seine the local creeks, and I would bring home bait fish and try to keep them alive and understand what it was like to control water temperature and make sure we didn't have chlorinated water for the species that we'd bring home to fish with. And then from there, it just got into the pet trade industry and now into the seafood sector.
What was your first fish-raising endeavor like? Did you go out and buy a plastic tub somewhere and a filter?
You know, my first endeavor was with a stock tank out of the barnyard, filling it up with water.
A stock tank is a big aluminum, sort of almost rectangular thing that
right.
cows drink out of, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that was my first endeavor to grow bait fish out of, and didn't understand that at a younger age that when you stuck the garden hose in, you changed the water temperature, so I lost most of them early on.
One of the things that you have going is the development of your own feed mill, the ability to produce your own food for the fish. That's a big project for you folks.
Yeah, it really is. You know, we looked at one of the important aspects of the three-legged stool is to control the nutrition side of our business. And with that, we made an acquisition here last month, and we acquired Integral Feeds out of Grand Junction, Colorado, moved that operation to Indiana, and we're really trying to set that operation up here in Delaware County. We are going to have to look for a variance on the land here in Albany to be able to make that fish feed. And that's something.
Zoning variance.
Yeah. We need a zoning variance to be able to run that feed mill because we want to run that feed mill and sell this feed to other producers within the state. When we looked at the largest expense we have in aquaculture is feed, and part of that is transportation. And so it was one of our goals is in the state of Indiana, working with the Indiana Soybean Alliance, is to have a feed mill here locally so we can spur on the economy and the development of aquaculture facilities within the state.
One of the issues in agriculture these days is the impact on neighbors. How do folks around here get along with you?
Some of the neighbors we work very well with, and some of the neighbors see that as a large agribusiness development, and that it's not to their liking. But what we try to do is try to develop a win-win for the neighbors and for the company and be sensitive to their needs as well, while understanding that we want to continue to grow. We want to develop more jobs. When you look at our business plan for the next 36 months, we're posed to invest another $40 million, create another 75 jobs here in the local community. And that has an impact, whether it be on the local restaurant or the local hardware or the local gas station. So we believe it's very ripe to create good jobs here in Delaware County, and it's much needed, much waited for.
What do we know today about raising fish that maybe we didn't know as an industry or from a science standpoint?
We know there's several areas of opportunity that this industry has provided, whether it be on the bacteria side, whether it be biologist or histologist, and on the technology side, such as the Cornell dual drain design. We begin to understand what it's like to have a genetic program in place, to have a bacteria monitoring program in place, so we can provide that optimal water for these fish to live and be raised in. And that's given us the opportunity to produce seafood where it's never been produced before. I mean, you think about a decade ago where this farm here used to be a soybean to corn field, and now we're producing coho salmon and trout and yellow perch for the local market, where we can take the fish that are in the tank today and have them at your restaurant or your retail outlet by tomorrow.
And so you really couldn't do this 10 years ago or so? Or
no, when you looked at 10 years ago in the development of RAS industry, even
the circulating water that allows you to reduce the amount of water you use by more than 90%, and so that probably lowers costs. And
absolutely, it had a huge impact to costs and the economy of scale, and being able to produce these fish on land.
Is there a kind of fish that you would like to be able to raise, but you're still trying to figure out how to do that?
You know, there is. you know, there was only really one commercial crappie fishing, and that was in Reelfoot Lake in Tennessee. And I think that's just a great fish to eat. It's a great fish I would love to see come on our local menu. So when you look at crappie, I think it's a high-value species that would do well in the retail and the restaurant industry.
Well, I love her, but I love the fish. I spend all day out on this lake, and hell is all I catch. But today she met me at the door, said I would have to choose. If I hit that fishing hole today, she'd be packing all her things and she'd be gone by noon. Well, I'm gonna miss her.
Norman McCowan, president of Bell Aquaculture, world's largest perch farm, located just northeast of Muncie. The plant was the subject of a zoning dispute over its application for a permit to build a feed mill. So we wanted to step inside, take a look around at the fish and the technology. It's the question heard a lot these days. There are the food needs of the world and a desire to get seafood without damaging world fisheries. And that is balanced against the concerns of neighbors. The solution is usually a compromise, and the news reports late this week indicated some hope that that was happening up at Bell Aquaculture. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.